Hello, this is Rita Schulte, and I will be reading the Pantograph from Saturday, May 9th, Sunday, May 10th, and Monday, May 11th. We'll begin on page 1 of Saturday's Pantograph with the headline, A Dry Summer. Twin Cities close pools, cancel fireworks and festivals. The traditional rites of summer, swimming, fireworks, and festivals, came to a screeching halt Friday, as worries about coronavirus forced the closures of Twin City public schools, July 4th celebrations, and more. Also falling victim to the pandemic were the Sugar Creek Arts Festival, Make Music Normal Festival, Uptown Normal Concerts, and the Children's Discovery Museum, according to separate announcements by the City of Bloomington and the Town of Normal. Still, the city and town plan a variety of parks and recreational programs although the type, size, and duration haven't been determined, and Bloomington announced plans to demolish a neighborhood pool to make way for an aquatics park. During a news conference in Chicago, Governor J.B. Pritzker was asked about the fireworks cancellation and whether other communities should take similar steps. He said people can read for themselves what the consequences of large gatherings are. Those are decisions that will have to be made at the local level, he said. All four municipal pools and aquatic facilities, O'Neill, Holiday, Fairview Park, and Anderson, will be closed entirely, and Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason announced the aging O'Neill Pool will be demolished, possibly as early as June, to make way for an aquatic park. July 4th activities for Bloomington and Normal, which culminate in coordinated fireworks displays, also are canceled to avoid social distancing issues at Miller and Fairview Parks. The Celebrate America program at Miller Park, traditionally held July 3rd through the 4th, with the cast of the Pantograph's Holiday Spectacular, also is canceled. Children's Discovery Museum in Uptown Normal will be closed at least through July, although its store remains open for curbside pickup. Museum memberships will be extended once the museum reopens. Beth Wissman, who directs the museum and the town's cultural arts programs, said museum staff are working on children's programming and continue to raise money for new exhibits and free outreach programs. She said a reimagined Medici craft beer and jazz festival is planned for July. Great opportunity. In its statement, the city pointed out the 46-year-old O'Neill Pool has outlived its operational capacity expectation by 21 years. In every challenge, there's an opportunity, Gleason said. The guidelines that are now here and the ones that we know are likely coming due to COVID-19, combined with the condition of O'Neill Pool, made this a no-brainer. Let's have a big win for the community out of this. The scope, design, and price of the new facility haven't been determined, but the city already budgeted $738,000 for design work, and bids could be accepted as early as next Monday. O'Neill is long overdue for a makeover, and this gives us a great opportunity to start, said Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Arts Director Jay Tetzloff. The string of cancellations includes the popular Sugar Creek Arts Festival, a fundraiser for the McLean County Arts Center, that takes over Uptown Normal for a full weekend of curated arts and crafts, music, and food. MCAC Director Doug Johnson said the center instead will host a virtual event on July 11th with direct links to participating artists' websites. Concerts scheduled for Uptown Circle and Connie Link Amphitheater through July were also canceled. Miller Park Zoo remains closed, but the park itself, as well as other parks in Bloomington and Normal, are open. Visitors must observe social distancing and mask requirements. Safety is our priority, but we understand people want to have fun. Parks are open, and we encourage the public to enjoy them with proper social distancing, Tetzloff said. And another article from page one of Saturday's paper has the headline, ISU Students Among Patients. Officials say seven recent cases are tied to events at off-campus home. Recent social gatherings of some Illinois State University students at a private residence is one reason for McLean County's recent uptick in COVID-19 cases following a period with few new cases. McLean County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight reported Friday two new cases of the novel coronavirus in McLean County. Both are females in their 20s and in isolation at home, she said. That brings to 112 the number of confirmed COVID cases in McLean County since the first diagnosis on March 19th. 87 of those people have recovered. 20 are at home in isolation, and 2 are hospitalized, including 1 in an intensive care unit, McKnight said. 3 of the 112 people died earlier this spring. Their passing away was a result of the COVID disease process, said Melissa Gravern, Health Department Communicable Disease Supervisor. All 3 individuals had comorbidity issues, which greatly enhanced the disease process. But 7 of the recent cases were ISU students who gathered at a private residence in late April and early May, Gavin said. All 7 are on home isolation, and 10 to 12 asymptomatic close contacts have been asked to self-quarantine, Gravern said. ISU spokesman Eric Jome said the university would be contacted by the health department if students or workers on campus had tested positive for COVID, but no such notification has been made. The 7 students were off campus. As far as off-campus gatherings, we, right from the beginning in our messaging, encouraged everyone to take it seriously with social distancing and hygiene, Jome said. That's a message we will likely encourage everyone to follow. While ISU moves from face-to-face instruction to online learning in mid-March, some students remained in the residence halls and in off-campus housing. Meanwhile, Normal Mayor Chris Coos, on April 4th, gave Normal Police authority to disperse groups of more than 10 people. 23 McLean County residents in their 20s, more than any other age group, have had confirmed COVID cases. The disease has been present in our community for a while, Gravern said. The weather is nice, people are getting anxious and antsy, and are possibly testing the measures of social distancing efforts and messaging that we've been trying to promote. But she warned that COVID is an equal opportunity virus that isn't going away, and people need to respect social distancing guidelines. McKnight said 3,139 McLean County residents have been tested for the virus. At the COVID-19 drive-through testing site at the McLean County Fairgrounds, 1106 Interstate Drive, Bloomington, 132 more people were tested on Thursday. Illinois Department of Public Health, IDPH, reported that on Friday. That brings to 4,165 the number of Illinoisans who have been tested since that site opened on March 28. While there have been no confirmed COVID-19 cases in Bloomington Normal's homeless shelters, discussions are underway on how to isolate residents if there is an outbreak, McKnight said. Meanwhile, LaSalle County Health Department announced that county's 3rd and 4th COVID-19 fatalities on Friday. A woman in her 40s and a woman in her 60s have died after being diagnosed earlier with COVID. It is with a heavy heart that we announce the additional loss of 2 of our LaSalle County residents to this illness, said Health Department Administrator Julie Carestes. Our thoughts and deepest condolences go out to the family and friends who are mourning the loss of their loved ones. LaSalle County also announced 2 more COVID cases, a man in his 50s and a woman in her 70s, both in isolation, bringing to 93 the number of residents who have tested positive. 42 LaSalle County residents have recovered. Other area counties' COVID numbers include Champaign, 247 cases, 6 deaths, Macon, 141 cases, 15 deaths, Iroquois, 84 cases, 1 death, Tazewell, 56 cases, 3 deaths, Livingston, 24 cases, 1 death, Woodford, 15 cases, 1 death, Ford, 12 cases, 1 death, Logan, 9 cases, Piatt 7 cases, Marshall 4, and DeWitt 3. Statewide, IDPH reported Friday 2,887 new COVID cases and 130 additional deaths, meaning 73,760 people have confirmed cases of coronavirus and 3,241 have died since March. And also from page one of Saturday's paper, headline is County Preps for Property Tax Payments. Property tax bills from McLean County will be mailed Monday, and county officials will reopen a small part of the government center for people who wish to pay in person. The government center has been closed to the public since March 23rd, when the COVID-19 pandemic hit McLean County. The McLean County Customer Service Station, a walk-up service, has been open outside the East Street side of the government center between Washington and Front Streets for members of the public who wish to conduct business with the county in person, said Dion McNeil, the county's communications specialist. The service station is open 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Property owners who wish to pay their taxes bills in person may use the Front Street entrance to the government center and make their payments at a station in the first floor lobby. The entrance will be open 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday, beginning Monday with the first hour designated for people at higher risk of COVID-19, County Treasurer Rebecca McNeil said in a written statement. Taxpayers paying in person must practice social distancing guidelines. Access to other offices within the government center will not be permitted, McNeil said. We ask the public for their patience and cooperation as we strive to balance health and safety while serving the needs of our taxpayers who wish or need to pay in person, McNeil said. County Clerk Kathy Michael and staff have put up cardboard cutouts of Presidents George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama to block public access to other parts of the building. Michael said Friday that she and some members of her staff have concerns about the reopening because COVID-19 remains in the community. The barrier discourages people from coming further into the building, but does so in a lighthearted way, she said. Taxpayers may also use the payment drop box at the East Street entrance, McNeil said. After Wednesday's County Board Finance Committee meeting, County Administrator Camille Rodriguez told the Pantograph that while a portion of the government center would be reopened, county officials encourage taxpayers to pay their taxes online at local banks or by mail. Parcel information and payment options are available at mclaincountyil.gov/tax, McNeil said. The first installment of property taxes is due June 17th, and the second is due September 17th. McNeil delayed each due date by 2 weeks to give more time for taxpayers experiencing financial difficulty because of the coronavirus. In addition, the county board voted on April 21st to postpone interest penalties for 30 days for people who are late paying their first installments. For payment and billing questions, call the treasurer at 309-888-5180. That's 309-888-5180. Or email treasurer@mcneilcountyil.gov. Exemption and assessment questions should be directed to the Supervisor of Assessments at 309-888-5130 or email to assessor@mcleancountyil.gov. McLean County taxpayers are being billed at $351.9 million compared to $347.9 million last year, McNeil said. McLean County's taxable equalized assessed valuation increased to $3.974 billion compared to $3.922 billion last year, she said. The treasurer bills more than 68,000 real estate parcels. On page A6 is the headline, Lincoln Apartment Fire Left One Dead and One Hurt. Authorities have identified the victims of an apartment fire in Lincoln that also injured a neighbor. Alexandra M. Lesser, 24, was declared dead at 4:07 a.m. after first responders found her inside a burning apartment at 1228 Delavan Street in Lincoln, Logan County Coroner Robert Thomas said Friday. One person was inside each of the three apartments connected in a ranch-style building at the intersection of North Butler and Delavan Street when the fire started before 3:50 a.m. Thursday. Fire Chief Bob Donofsky said, when the fire crews arrived, initial reports indicated no one was inside the apartments. During the second search, firefighters found Lesser in the middle apartment, 1228 Delavan, where the roof later fell in. Two dogs and six cats also were found dead inside that unit. Heavy smoke was pushing out from the eaves when Lincoln firefighters arrived at 3:51 a.m., Donofsky said. Lincoln Rural Fire Protection District and Atlanta and Mount Pulaski Fire Departments were called in to assist, and the fire was under control within about 7 minutes. A neighbor was taken to a local hospital because of smoke inhalation. The person was treated and released within an hour, Donofsky said. Donofsky said the damage from the fire and smoke was extensive, well over 100,000, and the building will likely be a total loss. The two other tenants have been in contact with Red Cross for assistance with temporary housing. The cause of the fire is under investigation by Lincoln fire officials, the Logan County Coroner's Office, and the state's fire marshal's office. And another story, police look for assault suspect. Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs the public's help in finding a person wanted on felony charges. Travis Michael Walker, 34, is 5 feet 9 inches tall and weighs 250 pounds. He has black hair and brown eyes. His last known address was in Colfax. Walker is named on a warrant charging him with aggravated assault. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to his arrest or the indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. Call 309-828-1111. And from Sunday's paper, on page 2 of the May 10th Pantograph is an article, Connect Transit Seeks Feedback, Fares Expansion Among Topics for Sessions. Connect Transit is looking for public feedback on recommendations approved by its work group for fares, Connect Mobility Expansion, and bus stops. The session will be 5 to 6 p.m. May 13th and May 20th at Connect Transit 351 Wiley Drive in Normal. A public hearing follows at 4 p.m. May 26th on the proposed fare structure with a final vote on May 26th. Only 10 people will be allowed in the room at the same time, and they will be required to stay 6 feet apart and wear a face covering. Anyone with COVID-19 symptoms is asked to stay home. The feedback sessions will focus on one rate for all fare structure, Connect Mobility Service expansion, and the Better Bus Stops for Bloomington Normal campaign. If you can't attend, questions can be emailed to Brendan O'Neill at bonell@connect-transit.com. An FAQ document will be available at connect-transit.com. Connect Transit has provided public transportation to the Bloomington Normal community since 1972. And on page 6, restaurant employee tests positive for virus. An employee of a Wendy's restaurant in Bloomington has tested positive for coronavirus and has been quarantined. On April 28th, The McLean County Health Department was notified a worker assigned to the store at 1522 West Market Street tested positive and that the store was deep cleaned by a professional third-party service, according to a statement from spokesman for Pilot Company, which oversees the Wendy's located inside the Pilot Travel Center. The employee has been quarantined since the positive test, as well as co-workers who had close contact with the affected person. For guidance from the medical professionals, these team members were quarantined, and Pilot continues to support them with emergency paid leave. In addition, all remaining team members at this location were informed of the positive case and continue to be trained on proper hygiene and sanitation procedures, the statement reads. The Centers for Disease Control, Food and Drug Administration, and other agencies say the virus that causes COVID-19 isn't transmitted through food. All McLean County food establishments were sent guidelines from the Illinois Department of Public Health on how to decontaminate and maintain a safe working environment with the presence of the COVID-19 illness, said Tom Anderson, Director of Environmental Health from McLean County Health Department. Now, from Monday's paper is an article with the headline, Ferrero Plant Could Get Tax Incentives for Expansion. Bloomington, a West Side candy plant with long ties to the community, could receive tax incentives that would enable Ferrero SPA to invest up to $70 million into the plant and create up to 50 jobs. The project would be part of an expansion of the Bloomington Normal Enterprise Zone, a proposal that would be presented Monday to the Bloomington City Council by the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council. The Enterprise Zone provides incentives to commercial companies for new investments, including facility expansions, renovations, and other qualified improvements, according to city staff. Incentives include sales tax exemptions on building materials or on personal property used to consume during the manufacturing process, utility tax exemption on gas and electricity, and administrative share on telecom excise tax, investment tax credit on qualified investments, natural gas tax exemption, and real estate property tax abatement eligibility. The zone was created in 1984 among Bloomington, Normal, and McLean County as part of the attraction package for Diamond Star Motors, Mitsubishi Motors, and to support redevelopment of areas in the West Market Street corridor. Ferrero owns the former Nestle plant, 2501 Bike Road, which traces its beginnings to the Bike Candy Company established in the 1890s. The council is expected to vote on the Enterprise Zone expansion Monday night. Members will also vote on amending the COVID-19 emergency ordinance to allow prorated liquor license fees to qualifying businesses and to allow City Manager Tim Gleason to approve grant agreements and applications related to the pandemic. The prorated fee will be calculated by the annual liquor license fee divided by the number of days in a year, multiplied by the number of days the business was closed. The proration is available for businesses with liquor licenses that did not sell alcohol or liquor through curbside pickup for delivery during the pandemic. The establishment must hold a liquor license and must not have sold liquor on a continuous basis, said Nora Dugowitz, the city's public information officer. Businesses can apply when dine-in services resume. The amendment to the grant agreement and application approval process is more of a clarification, said Dugowitz. Grant agreement execution typically requires a council action, but the amendment allows the city manager to execute grant agreements related to COVID-19 as a way to expedite the process. In other business, the council is expected to take action on several purchases, including waiving the technician bidding requirements, and approving a contract with Drake Scruggs Equipment, Inc. to purchase a $50,556 2020 Ford F-350, approving the purchase of a $44,047 2020 Ford F-350 dump truck from Curry Motors of Frankfurt through the Northwest Municipal Contract and Suburban Purchasing Cooperative Contract, and approving $109,740.61 contract with Egizii Electric Inc., that's spelled EGIZII Electric Incorporated of Springfield, to install LED lights at Grossinger Motors Arena. On page 8 of Monday, May 11th, Pantograph, headline is Firefighter World Ranked in Business Simulation. A Bloomington firefighter is ranked 8th in the world for a business simulation game after spending 2 weeks tied for first out of 2,652 teams from 166 colleges and universities across the globe. Tyler Zimmerman, also a Lincoln College student in the Accelerated Bridge to Education program. We are very proud of one of our own for not only bettering himself through education, but placing in the top 10 in a worldwide business strategy game. Please help us congratulate firefighter Zimmerman on his major accomplishment, BFD posted on its Facebook page. The game is part of the college's strategic management capstone course taken in the final semester of the business management degree program, the college said. Students create and operate a worldwide business venture and are assessed weekly on overall score, earnings per share, and return on average equity and stock price. The simulation game was an interesting way to see how all the pieces of business work together and how key decisions need to be made, Zimmerman said. Zimmerman and his classmates also scored in the top 1% in the nation as a group on the business major field test, which is taken by all graduating seniors in business. Education is important to anyone with the fire service field. I decided to complete my bachelor's degree because of the benefit of evening classes one night per week worked well with my responsibilities as a full-time fireman, said Zimmerman, who graduates this spring. Another article. Tyson helps Midwest Food Bank. Tyson Foods will send semi-truckloads of chickens to Midwest Food Bank, 2031 Warehouse Road in Normal, and to the food bank's divisions in Peoria, Indiana, Florida, and Georgia to help the organization feed people impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. The food bank will distribute the processed chickens to partner agencies to be given to those in need. Water Company offers relief funds. Illinois American Water and the American Water Charitable Foundation are together providing over $85,000 in donations to COVID-19 relief funds to organizations across Illinois. Among recipients will be OSF Healthcare Foundation, Amita Healthcare Foundations, and the Boys and Girls Club of Livingston County. Other recipients include Streeter Food Pantry and Lincoln Logan Food Bank in Lincoln. That's the end of part one of the Pantograph for May 9, 10, and 11. This is Rita Schulte, and I will be back to read the second half in just a few moments. Please stay tuned.